Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Today we're diving into a topic that really touches millions of lives. Alzheimer's disease. We all understand its devastating impact, but you know, what if there was a genetic condition that almost guaranteed its development by midlife? That's the stark, incredibly challenging reality for nearly all individuals with Down syndrome. Now, while we've long focused on the classic hallmarks of Alzheimer's, you know, those infamous amyloid plaques and tau tangles, groundbreaking new research is revealing something surprising. It seems a whole cascade of widespread, unique molecular changes is unfolding in Down syndrome brains much earlier than anyone previously imagined. Yeah, even before these traditional markers really fully emerge. So this brings us to the core question of our deep dive today. How could studying these distinct, incredibly early onset molecular changes in Down syndrome revolutionize our entire understanding of Alzheimer's disease? And not just for this specific population, but potentially for everyone grappling with this complex condition. What fundamental secrets might these unique pathways hold for future treatments? For prevention strategies, let's explore. Today, we want to celebrate the groundbreaking work of Lea Montoli-Gaya, Shuji Abeon, Eric B. Dammer, Eric C.B. Johnson, Juan Fortea, and their really extensive team. They're affiliated with institutions including the University of Gothenburg, Emory University, Hospital de Santo Cruz y São Paulo, and NYU Grossman School of Medicine. Their research, published in Nature Communications in 2025, has significantly advanced our understanding of the complex molecular pathology of Alzheimer's disease, specifically in the context of Down syndrome. Okay, let's set the stage a bit. Down syndrome, or DS, it's a genetic condition caused by the triplication of chromosome 21. It's the most common genetic form of intellectual disability. The good news, and it's truly remarkable progress, is that advances in healthcare have dramatically extended the life expectancy for individuals with DS, often well into their 70s now.
Absolutely. And that increased life expectancy, while, you know, a huge victory, has brought a new, really urgent challenge. Over 90% of individuals with Down syndrome will develop Alzheimer's disease by their seventh decade. It's tragically become the leading cause of mortality in this population now, and the genetic link here is incredibly direct. It's strong. Trisomy 21 means having three copies of the APP gene, which then leads to an overproduction of amyloid beta, ABA, protein. This overproduction fuels the formation of those, you know, telltale A plaques. In fact, by age 40, essentially all individuals with DS show extensive Alzheimer's neuropathology in their brains.
It's astonishing how consistently it develops, really stark. And we've known for a while that the ADA found in Down syndrome brains, well, it shares similarities with what we see in sporadic late-onset Alzheimer's, ADA. Plus, genetic mutations in APP and other genes like PSN1 and PSN2, they cause early-onset autosomal dominant Alzheimer's, ADAD, that also features similar amyloid changes. But here's the critical nuance, right? Down syndrome also comes with its own unique neurodevelopmental background, different immune system responses. So the really pressing question has been, beyond just ADAO, do the biological pathways leading to dementia in Down syndrome Alzheimer's disease, or DSA as it's called, truly mirror load in ADAD? Or are there distinct, maybe independent features at play that we really need to understand?
Precisely. And figuring out the specific pathophysiology, the natural history of Alzheimer's and Down syndrome, it's an urgent priority, especially now with new anti-A therapies becoming available. So this deep dive really aims to uncover those unique features because that understanding could unlock entirely new targeted therapeutic opportunities for this vital population.
Okay, so start tackling that really complex question. The researchers in this study turned to proteomics. Could you walk us through how they managed to dive so deeply into these molecular changes? What did that involve?
Yeah, proteomics is incredibly powerful here. It lets us analyze disease-related changes at the fundamental level of proteins. Proteins are the actual workhorses of our biology, right? Yeah. And they're the source of most molecular biomarkers. The study specifically used tandem mass tag mass spectrometry, TMTMS. It's a highly sensitive technique. And they used it to measure hundreds of proteins directly in cerebrospinal fluid, the CSF.
And crucially, they didn't just look at individuals with Down syndrome in isolation. They had comparison groups, right, to really understand the distinctions.
Exactly. That's key. They analyzed CSF samples from a large and incredibly diverse group, 365 participants. This included euploid controls people without Down syndrome, along with individuals who had sporadic late-onset AD, and very importantly, individuals with Down syndrome at different clinical stages. So asymptomatic, meaning no symptoms yet, prodromal, showing early symptoms, and then full-blown dementia. From these samples, they were able to identify a remarkable 838 proteins for detailed analysis. Now, a really key innovation in their method was applying a Bayesian statistical approach. They used that alongside an estimated year of onset, or EYO framework. This is a sophisticated method, kind of like what's used in ADAD studies. And it was critical because it allowed them to model protein levels and track changes over time relative to the estimated symptom onset. For DS, that was around age 50.2. This powerful analytical framework let them make direct nuanced comparisons of protein changes in DS to those in LOAD and even to previously reported ADAD data. And they could also correlate their CSF findings with protein changes seen in actual brain tissue, which gives immense confidence in the results.
Right. The statistical approach sounds like it really helped untangle a complex timeline. A lot going on there. Right. So with such a powerful methodology, what were the absolute headline findings? What immediately jumped out from this enormous data set?
Well, a major discovery, almost paradigm shifting, was the sheer scale and the startling earliness of these protein changes in the DS-CSF. Out of the 838 proteins they analyzed, get this, 556 were significantly altered in DS. And a remarkable 87% of those changes were present prior to the onset of any AD symptoms. That fundamentally rewrites our understanding. It shows the disease's molecular roots are laid down decades before clinical signs even emerge. It suggests we need to maybe rethink our entire approach to intervention for this population.
87% before symptoms. That's just an astonishing figure. Wow. It will push the timeline back, doesn't it? But were these changes the same as what we typically see in other forms of AD, or were they unique to Down syndrome?
Yeah, and that's where it gets truly fascinating. While some protein groups, these co-expression modules, proteins that change together, they were indeed correlated with classic AD traits like tau pathology and cognitive decline, similar to LOAD, but there were also distinct modules unique to Down syndrome. For example, the M23 module, that includes proteins from chromosome 21 like APP and SOD1. As you'd expect, it was strongly elevated in DS but not in LOAD. What was maybe more surprising were other unique DS modules. These showed marked elevations in proteins related to the extracellular matrix, things like M18 and M5 collagen, also the complement system, M25, and immunoglobulins, M3. These are pathways that are profoundly impacted by the genetic differences in Down syndrome, suggesting a much broader, much earlier disease signature than just amyloid and tau.
So it's not just what changes, but when those changes happen that seems really distinct here. Did the study map out this temporal progression too?
Absolutely. They meticulously mapped the timeline. They found that 11 of the identified modules were significantly altered before changes in the F4-40 ratio. And that ratio, as you know, is a key marker of amyloid plaque deposition. The very earliest changes were seen in that M23 TRAN21 APPSOD1 leukocyte migration module, directly reflecting the genetics, and also in the M13 Golgi glycosylation module. And even more critically, perhaps, neurofilament light polypeptide, NEFL, that's a key biomarker for axonal damage white matter pathology. It was elevated in DSCSF prior to increases in tau and phosphorylated tau. Now, this is a crucial difference from what we observe in LOAD. It points to significant, very early neuronal injury that actually precedes the classic tau pathology in Down syndrome.
Okay. And how did this unique sequence compare to autosomal dominant AD, ADED, where we also see early onset but driven by different specific gene mutations?
Yeah, those comparisons were really illuminating. While the overall ADE changes look pretty similar between DS and IDD, the temporal ordering, the sequence of many other protein alterations, was quite distinct in DS. For instance, some synaptic proteins like secretagranin 2, SEG2, VGF, and neuronal pentraxin 2, NPTX2, these are vital for communication between brain cells. They decrease notably earlier in DS compared to AD. Also, lactoferrin, MFGE8, showed the earliest and most prominent decrease in DS. This is particularly intriguing because MFGE8 is a precursor to Meden. Meden is a protein fragment directly implicated in cerebral amyloid angiopathy, or CAA. That's the condition where amyloid builds up in brain blood vessels, making them leaky, fragile. So its early decrease strongly suggests that vascular problems are an incredibly early feature in DSAD.
Wow. Given these CSF findings, pointing to vascular issues and early neuronal damage, did the researchers also look at actual brain tissue to confirm these molecular shifts were truly happening in the brain?
Yes, they did. And this cross-validation adds significant weight to their findings. It's really important. They compared the CSF results directly to postmortem brain tissue, and they found concordant changes. Things matched up. This included those extracellular matrix proteins, plasma proteins, chromosome 21 proteins, and crucially, myelin markers like MAG and MAROG, which were decreased. Myelin is the insulation around nerve fibers. So this powerfully reinforces the idea that what they observed in the CSF accurately reflected actual brain pathology. A particularly striking finding, and a novel one, was a prominent decrease in PVALB parvalbumin. They saw this in both DS brain and CSF. PVALB is a marker for critical inhibitory interneurons. These cells are essential for maintaining proper brain activity balance. And this decrease showed a clear age-dependent pattern, specifically in DS.
Okay, this is a tremendous amount of really detailed information, but it paints such a vivid picture. If you were to distill these findings for us, what are the overarching big picture takeaways from this research? What should we really focus on?
What's truly fascinating, I think, is that the study definitively highlights specific pathological alterations in DS that are directly linked to trisomy 21 itself. And these changes, they don't just pop up at Alzheimer's onset. They evolve over many, many years before the typical cognitive decline. Those early elevations we saw, immunoglobulins, complement, collagen, extracellular matrix proteins, they aren't just consequences of AD. They seem to be intrinsic features of DS, present even prior to aplaque formation. And they might actually serve as critical predisposing risk factors for developing DSAD down the line.
Right, so it's not just the classic plaques and tangles telling the whole story anymore. There's this much broader, much earlier landscape of changes that's influencing the disease.
Exactly. The data strongly suggests that cerebrovascular dysfunction plays a significant and very early role. Those elevations in plasma proteins in the DS-CSF, for instance, they hint strongly at a loss of blood-brain barrier integrity, a leakiness. And as we discussed, that very early decrease in MFGE8, the precursor to hemedin, tied to CAA points to profound cerebrovascular issues developing much earlier than we previously thought. This has really crucial implications for anti-M immunotherapies. It might mean individuals with Down syndrome are actually at a higher risk of side effects like ARIA, amyloid-related imaging abnormalities, because their blood vessels might already be compromised.
That's a vital safety consideration for future treatments, definitely. Mm. What about those other early changes you mentioned, like the axonal degeneration? Do they also point to unique vulnerabilities in DS?
Absolutely. The earlier and more pronounced increase in NEFL, that marker of axonal damage, coupled with the decreased myelin markers like MAG and OO in both CSF and brain, it all points to significant early white matter pathology and axonal degeneration in DS. This isn't just a consequence, it could be a fundamental predisposing factor for developing DSAD. And there's another intriguing layer here too. The study also found interesting sex-specific differences in protein profiles. It looked like males with DS showed more indications of blood-brain barrier problems, while females showed more of a classical AD metabolic phenotype, which hints that different pathways might be more active depending on sex, something critical for developing personalized therapeutic approaches down the road.
This raises such an important and hopefully a hopeful question. What do these unique findings mean for potential treatments, especially treatments targeting those distinct early pathways you've described?
Well, the prominent decrease in PVLB, that parvalbumin marker, is particularly exciting from a therapeutic standpoint. PVALB marks those fast-spiking inhibitory interneurons, which are absolutely crucial for maintaining the brain's excitation-inhibition balance. Keep things stable. Their dysfunction is strongly linked to cognitive impairment across different conditions. So this finding suggests that strategies aimed at boosting PVLB function could be really beneficial. Things like certain anti-epileptic medications, maybe levetiracetam, or even novel approaches like gamma entrainment therapies, which are already being explored for other forms of AD. These might be particularly helpful for individuals with DSAD, and critically, CSF-PVLB could even become a quantifiable biomarker, something we can measure to track the effectiveness of such treatments in clinical trials. It's almost like a direct targetable mechanism right there.
That's a profound implication. If PVALB is so crucial for brain balance, and its decrease is so prominent here, it really suggests a very specific Achilles heel for cognitive impairment in DSAD, doesn't it? Offering a more precise therapeutic target than just, say, amyloid. But with research this complex, there are always limitations, right? What should we be mindful of with this study?
Yes, like any study, there are always limitations to consider. It's important. The number of young control participants was relatively small, which led to some uncertainty in protein estimates at the very earliest ages. Also, comparing data from different mass spectrometry techniques between the different groups, the cohorts, required very careful validation to ensure consistency. But, you know, these are common challenges in complex proteomic studies like this, and the insights gained are substantial and highly impactful despite these inherent complexities. They really move the field forward.
So, in essence, Alzheimer's and Down syndrome isn't just a simple, maybe accelerated version of other forms of AD. It really is something unique with its own intricate molecular story unfolding over decades.
Exactly. In summary, this deep dive reveals that Alzheimer's and Down syndrome is driven by this complex interplay of trisomy 21-related changes, changes that both precede and fundamentally modify the classic AD pathology we once thought defined the whole disease.
Right. It's not just AD with extra amyloid. It's a distinct disease progression. It involves unique immune changes, vascular issues, neuronal changes, all starting much earlier. And this understanding is absolutely critical, isn't it, for developing truly effective, targeted therapies for this population, rather than just trying to adapt treatments designed for other AD types, which might not hit the right targets early enough.
And this research really reshapes our understanding of Alzheimer's itself by highlighting how a specific genetic predisposition can kick off such a diverse cascade of molecular events over time. So the provocative thought is, what does this mean for our broader approach to Alzheimer's? How might these unique insights from the Down syndrome pathways eventually illuminate our understanding and maybe benefit everyone affected by this complex disease?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoy this analysis, the best way to support Base by Base is to subscribe or follow in your favorite podcast app and leave us a 5-star rating. It only takes a few seconds, but makes a huge difference in helping others discover the show. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.